Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ventyv Hospitality Limited's Q2 FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. The audio archive, transcript, financial statements, and other documents related to the quarter will be made available on the company's website. We have with us today the management team of Ventyv Hospitality Limited, represented by Mr. Ranjit Batra, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Paresh Bhavna, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Milind Wadekar, Executive Vice President, Finance and Investor Relations. Please note that Ventyv Hospitality Limited does not provide specific revenue or earnings guidance. Anything said on this call, which reflects management's outlook to the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. These risks are outlined in the second slide of the earnings update presentation available on the company's website. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Batra. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Batra.
Thank you very much. So, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Our second quarter performance marks four consecutive quarters of strong and sustained growth since listing. It is deeply gratifying to witness this robust execution of our commitments we made at the time of our IPO, and we've delivered consistent, profitable growth across India and Maldives portfolio. This was done with disciplined capital allocation, value-accretive active asset management. Q2 FY26 was another strong quarter for Ventyv Hospitality, building upon the solid foundation established in Q1. The results reflect the company's ability to sustain momentum, leveraging operational strengths, and execute its growth strategy across our diverse markets. Our EBITDA grew by 50% and revenue grew 28% year-on-year, with margins expanding 7 percentage points to 46%, amongst the highest in the sector. The performance underscores the strength and consistency of our diversified portfolio. Moving to the Indian hospitality performance, Q2 FY26, our India business continued its steady upward trajectory, with revenue up 14% and EBITDA up 47% year-on-year. The revenue growth was driven by robust ADR improvements, and particularly in our luxury properties in Pune and our two hotels in Bangalore. Our ADR in India grew 12% to 11,335. We have pursued a strategy of increasing rates by phasing out low-yielding corporate accounts and reallocating inventory towards higher margin segments and new accounts. This approach, complemented by a motivated ground team and a clear focus on strengthening direct bookings, has enabled us to strengthen yield performance while maintaining healthy occupancy levels. Overall occupancy in India improved to 66%, so our RevPAR grew at 13% year-on-year to 7,486. In Pune, in particular, continues to validate a long-standing thesis. Limited new supply and strong corporate demand are giving us meaningful headroom to grow both in ADR and occupancy. As I have highlighted previously, our award-winning F&B offerings in our entire portfolio serve as a key differentiator, enhancing the guest experience while attracting significant external footfalls. We have continued to strengthen our proposition here by regularly refreshing our offerings, hosting pop-up events, and activating underutilized areas to creative and vibrant spaces. These also create new revenue streams, and these are evident from our TrevPAR numbers, a loyal customer base, and a strong positive guest feedback. In Q2, F&B and banqueting revenues grew 70%, pushing up TrevPAR to 13,630, up 14% year-on-year. Turning our attention to the pristine blue waters of Maldives, our Maldives portfolio continues performing strongly, with EBITDA growing at 164% year-on-year, reinforcing the power of diversified international exposure. Revenue grew 40% and 9% on same-store basis. Same-store occupancy improved 4 points to 50%, a direct outcome of disciplined asset management, targeted source market diversification, and sharper go-to-market efforts, leveraging occupancy from India and other Asian markets in the lean season. Same-store EBITDA was 91%, with margins up 6 percentage points to 13%. This strong profitability reflects both operational recovery across Conrad and Anantara, as well as the benefits of integrating all assets through our cluster purchasing, manpower optimization, and pointed marketing efforts. Conrad and Anantara continue to reinforce their ultra-luxury position with high repeat clients and longer average stays, while Raya all-inclusive model is widening our reach to premium experiential travelers. The opening of new Malé Airport has further enhanced access and improving our source market mix, something we've actively capitalizing on. In Maldives, we've also made meaningful progress on sustainability. Our solar installation program has now commenced across all three resorts, helping reduce diesel dependency, stabilize power costs, and strengthen our long-term margin profile. Margin will see a further boost once full transition to solar energy is complete. Regarding our annuity portfolio, moving to our annuity business, it remains still a solid bedrock of stability with 98% committed occupancy and EBITDA margins of 90%. Rental income largely flattish. The underlying performance remains robust, supported by long-term lease structures and high-quality tenant mix. Let's talk a little bit about the strategic milestones. This quarter, we also saw two strategic acquisitions that significantly enhance our portfolio mix. First, Soho House India acquisition. Ventiv Hospitality proposes to acquire a controlling stake in Soboho Private Limited, securing the exclusive rights to operate Soho House in India. This transaction includes the completed asset of Soho House Juhu, Mumbai, and the planned development of Soho House New Delhi, along with exclusive nationwide rights for the Soho House brand. Recognized globally as one of the most prestigious and premium membership-based hospitality concepts, Soho House is synonymous with luxury, exclusivity, and high loyal community of members. The brand's unique proposition blend, upscale accommodation, curated F&B experiences, and a vibrant community-driven space. This acquisition marks Ventiv's strategic entry into membership-led lifestyle hospitality in India, positioning the company to capture the discerning high-spending clientele while diversifying our portfolio into a segment that commands premium pricing and sustained loyalty. The second is the Hilton Goa Resort acquisition in October 2025. Ventiv acquired 76% stake in a 104-key Hilton Resort in Goa, along with a 4-acre land parcel in Batim, Goa. This represents our entry into India's fastest-growing leisure market and opening up opportunities for F&B-led growth, branded villas, and wellness. Together, these transactions serve to accelerate our long-term strategy of expanding our portfolio with high-quality, high-margin hotels and resorts by selectively adding assets that embody premium positioning and strong brand equity. We are enhancing our ability to deliver sustained profitability, deepen market presence, and strengthen our competitive advantage in the luxury hospitality segment. Moving on to talk a little about sustainability and social impact, our sustainability efforts continue to be the industry leading and deeply integrated into our operations. Energy inefficiencies initiatives, the Ritz-Carlton, Pune, achieved the highest LEED Platinum certification, ISO 14001, in 2015, while our ICC Tech Park and Trade Towers received 5-star safety ratings from British Safety Council. Preserving the environment, Conrad Maldives, Rangali Island, earned Patty Eco Center certification, just one of the two resorts in Maldives with this amazing recognition that promotes high-quality eco-marine life around the island. Anantara partnered with Maldives Resilient Reefs for seagrass ecosystem protection. Waste management. Our properties now supply reusable glass bottles in guest rooms, while Anantara and Maldives bioglass plant cuts CO2 emissions by over 1,700 tons annually. People initiatives. We supported Cochlear Pune with a dedicated bus for children with hearing impairments and continue to support Project Parinita, promoting women's workforce in hospitality. Moving on to awards and recognitions. This is also a quarter for recognitions across our portfolio. In India, our Pune hotels dominated TripAdvisor 2025 awards, with Tafu, JW Marriott winning best of the best in fine dining, and Quan Spa in ranking as top 10% globally. Our F&B brands Yokio, Asmana, Alto Vino, and Pasha all secured three-star ratings in Hospitality Horizon Epicure Awards 2025. While in Maldives, the standout was Etha, our underwater restaurant at the Conrad Maldives, which was ranked as top 1% globally, Traveler's Choice Best of Best 2025 out of 8 million listings on TripAdvisor. Raya Batnaspa won the most picturesque resort, and Anantara and Conrad Maldives continue to feature in Travel and Leisure top 500 hotels in the world. Sorry, Asia. These award highlights are focused on operational excellence, F&B leadership, and innovation in guest experience. As we now move into the seasonally stronger half of the year, powered by weddings, MICE, and peak leisure demand, we expect occupancy and pricing across the portfolio to accelerate further. Our hotel teams continue to execute with passion and precision, ensuring every stay becomes a memorable experience for our guests. With a solid H1 behind us and the strongest quarter still ahead, we are firmly on track to outperform our annual plan and extend our leadership in the hospitality performance. With that, I let and request Mr. Milan and Mr. Paresh to walk you through the financials.
Thank you, Ranjit. Good afternoon, everyone. I will begin with my usual disclaimer on the comparative from last year. As you are aware, the acquisition of several entities in our portfolio took place in August 2024. So our financial statements of prior periods do not have financial number of those entities. To enable comparison, we have prepared pro forma financial statements based on internal MIS for those periods as if those acquisitions were made on April 1, 2023. Their revenues, cost, and EBITDA are included in the pro forma financial statement of FY24 and H1 FY25. Hence, the number presented in the statutory financial statement will differ from the pro forma figures in our commentary, our press releases, and earning update presentation. Let me highlight two very important milestones we achieved in this quarter. First, we crossed rupees 100 crore mark in profit after tax on half-yearly basis as compared to full-year PAT of rupees 165 crore in FY2025. This was made possible by strong operational leverages in Pune and Bangalore and the reduction of debt over the last four quarters. Second, we achieved 41% EBITDA margin in our India hospitality business in quarter two, a seasonally weak quarter, higher than our full year margin of 37% in FY25. With our seasonally strongest quarters coming up, this can only go up for the full year. Now let me walk you through our Q2 FY26 headline numbers. Our consolidated revenue was 554.5 crores, up 28% year-on-year. This includes 47.6 crore of foreign exchange gain from mark-to-market dollar-denominated assets. Adjusted for this, the revenue growth is 16.6% year-on-year. Our hospitality revenue in quarter two was 369.3 crore, a growth of 25% year-on-year. Within that, our India portfolio contributed revenue of 190.7 crore, up 14% year-on-year, driven by strong ADR growth and F&B revenue growth that Ranjit just highlighted. Our international hospitality revenue grew 40% year-on-year to 178.6 crore, including Raya. On a same-store basis, international hospitality revenue growth was 9%. Moving on to profitability, our consolidated EBITDA was 254.8 crore, up 50% year-on-year, and EBITDA margins were at 46% and expansion of 7 percentage points year-on-year. Excluding the one-time foreign exchange gain, EBITDA growth was 22.2%. Our India hospitality business delivered an EBITDA of 78.5 crore, up 47% year-on-year. EBITDA margin was at 41% and expansion of 9 percentage points over quarter two last year. The strong EBITDA growth was primarily driven by operating leverages. Our flagship hotels in Pune and both properties in Bangalore reported healthy ARR growth, and three of our properties reported RevPAR growth exceeding 20% in quarter two. The margin also benefited from government grants in Q2 as well as one-time pre-IPO restructuring cost in Q2 of last year. EBITDA growth adjusted for these one-time cost last year is 32% year-on-year. Further, there was asset-level cost rationalization under several major heads like heat, light and power and other hotel operating expenses. Looking ahead, we are confident in our ability to grow our EBITDA margin and EBITDA per key as the growth drivers in Pune and Bangalore are very strong and no new supply is expected in luxury market in Pune for the next 5 years. So we have headroom for improving occupancy and ADR in both micro markets for the foreseeable future. Our international business reported EBITDA of 24.7 crore, up 164% year-on-year, and EBITDA margins of 14% and expansion of 7 percentage point year-on-year. On a same-store basis, the EBITDA growth was 91% and EBITDA margins were at 13%. Over the last few quarters, we have analyzed all expense head in detail and worked on rationalizing cost and improving efficiency across various operating departments. The improved performance in quarter two is a testament of these initiatives aided by operating leverages. We are also benefited from one-time restructuring expenses in Q2 of last year. Typically, the second quarter of financial year in Maldives is seasonally weakest quarter. Occupancy and rates improve sharply in quarter three and quarter four, which is why the EBITDA of H1 is almost equal to the EBITDA of quarter three, and EBITDA of first 9 months is nearly equal to the EBITDA of the last quarter. Now let me spend a minute on the financial aspects of our two investments that Ranjit spoke about. With the Hilton Goa Resort, we have acquired 76% in a running hotel at an enterprise value of 320 crores with FY25 revenue of 50 crores and EBITDA of 18 crores with a minimum initial cash outflow of only 120 crores. This deal is EBITDA accretive from the day of acquisition, and the numbers will be reflected from Q3 onwards. The asset was traced and a part of initial investment from Ventiv is used for paring down the debt of the owning company, and the balance debt is being renegotiated for lower cost of finance. The asset has development potential for additional 60-65 keys, resulting in improved operating leverages and higher EBITDA margins in the future. we plan to invest rupees 100 crore in a phased manner for refurbishment of existing rooms, development of additional keys, new F&B outlet and spa. The acquisition includes 4-acre land parcel to be used for high-end villa development. The EBITDA from sale of this villa will reduce our net investment of this acquisition. Moving on to proposed investment in Soho House, India, we plan to invest rupees 60 crore for 51% stake in Soho, India, which holds exclusive development and operating rights for Soho Houses and Cities Without Houses in India. The portfolio includes 38 key Soho Zoo, Mumbai, which is already operational, and 24 key Soho, New Delhi, which is currently under development. Now I request Paresh to take you through our debt summary.
Thank you and good afternoon. Ventus financial performance continues to reflect strength and resilience, reaffirming that our growth aspirations and strategic direction remain well aligned with prevailing market dynamics. Our balance sheet is prudently leveraged, providing us with the flexibility to respond effectively to opportunities and challenges as they arise. I am pleased to report that while our assets continue to perform strongly, we have at the same time managed to achieve a sustained reduction in our overall cost of funds. For our Indian assets, our cost of funds has declined by 0.8%, that is from 8.2% to 7.36%. For our offshore Maldivian debt, this reduction is 0.5% from 7.7% to 7.27%. These improvements have delivered a combined saving of 7.15 crore for the period April to September 25. This enhances our ability to deploy these savings strategically and create greater value. As on 30th September 25, our cumulative debt comprising both INR and USD exposures stands at 2129 crores. This includes INR debt of 1242 crores on our Indian assets and USD debt of $100 million, equivalent to 887 crores on our Maldivian assets. Our cash balances remain robust at 484 crores, resulting in a net debt position of 1646 crores. Net debt to EBITDA has shown consistent improvement, supported by strong cash flows and reliable annuity inflows. Finally, I am pleased to confirm that we retain our AA rating with a stable outlook from CRISIL, and our material subsidiary continues to hold AA+ rating. These ratings highlight our strong financial position and capacity to pursue future acquisition and expansion with confidence. With that, we should be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, please press star and then one. Our first question comes from the line of Vaibhav Mule from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Congratulations on the strong set of numbers. My first question was on our EBITDA and margins. We have seen a very strong EBITDA growth year on year based on pro forma financials and with a decent margin expansion as well. So going forward, can we expect this trajectory to continue in terms of absolute EBITDA growth as well as margin expansion in H2 as well as in FY27?
Good evening, Vaibhav. Thank you for your question and good to hear from you again. I'll take this question. This is regarding the exceptional EBITDA growth from what I understand, and how I want to address this is regarding the EBITDA growth, Q2 last year, we had an exceptional IPO related expenses, I think, which depressed the base. After adjusting for those one-offs, our EBITDA growth this quarter remains very strong, about 32% in India and over 55% in Maldives. These gains are operational, not optical. And I have already explained that even after the adjustment, the EBITDA growth is still quite strong. Now coming to what drove the EBITDA performance and is it sustainable? So I'll try to answer that as well. First, the performance we're seeing is the outcome of quite a lot of sustained, disciplined asset management across both our India and Maldives portfolio. In India, regarding the KPIs, our ADR grew quite strong. It's been seen across the board, supported by sharper pricing, a higher mix of direct bookings, like I mentioned, and of course, the backbone of F&B performance. Pune continues to validate our thesis. No new hotel supply is one of the insulator for our growth. Office stock is also in a very strong trajectory, 110 million square feet over the next 5 years, and we're seeing at least 24 to 25 million already coming in. And the infrastructure upgrades that continue to happen, whether it's the ring road, the metro, or the improved connectivity to the Navi Mumbai International Airport, which is, I'm sure, strengthening a lot of demand fundamentals and a compelling reason for people to come and establish business in Pune itself, where we are headquartered. Apart from this, we saw some great strong demand in both our micro markets of Whitefield and Outer Ring Road in Bangalore as well. And we continue to push our rates while protecting occupancies. While I explained India, let me also try to explain Maldives. The story on this quarter for Maldives was actually a story of occupancy. So we have our freshly refurbed assets, both the Conrad and the Anantara, which is now delivering the visible pickup. So these are fully, not only from an asset perspective, even from new team. The new commercial leadership team has been very effective in diversifying to new source markets and strengthening revenue management. I think we can see the results of that primarily. And of course, on the macro environment, the Vilina International Airport has opened, and that is also unleashing all the fundamentals that are helping us, which previously restricted demand. I think there was restriction both on capacity limits and there was unfavorable landing windows. So now that has been mitigated. And the other aspect of Maldives having limited island supply continues to remain. So both have helped us to sustain premium leisure pricing. And Raya, which is our third resort, continues the ramp up well and is expanding our reach into the all-inclusive market. So this is pretty much what I feel, and maybe a little touching on cost. The green energy program is also bringing to create quite a measurable efficiency, and there's a lot of reliance, as you know, on the energy part on generators in Maldives. So that has also kicked in. And yeah, this is sustainable. Our numbers, adjusted numbers for the exceptional items, are very sustainable. And we are still on the slower half, Vibhav. Two strong quarters, weddings, MICE, peak leisure, everything is ahead of us. So we are very excited. And we believe this level of EBITDA performance is sustainable, which is the adjusted EBITDA performance, both in India and Maldives.
Understood, sir. Thanks for the detailed answer. My second question was on our expansion pipeline. So we did announce a quarter back regarding the addition of ROFO assets. And we also have three projects that we are developing on our own books, in addition to the acquisition that we are doing in terms of Soho House and Goa. So in terms of timeline for each of these projects, if you could just throw some color in terms of the current status of development, and when do you expect each of the assets to become operational?
So the target growth plan is around 4,000, target is to reach 4,000 keys. So this will be by FY30. So currently we have 2,140 keys with the addition of Hilton Goa. So I'll go into the breakup So we have three assets right now, which we are developing. One is the Varanasi. This is FY 28. The Ritz-Carlton Reserve is also FY 28. And the AC by Marriott is FY 27. So this is as per our plan. And the ROFO asset, a pipeline of the four assets, which is basically the JW in Navi Mumbai, Moxie, and the three Moxies that we have is already, like I said, is FY 30. So these are the pipelines, and we are well, as you know, our background is making hotels and huge infrastructure development. So we have no reason to see any delays in this process. The team is very well versed with building hotels and very well programmed. So you can be rest assured we will deliver.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jaykant Beria from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on the great set of numbers. So I have two questions. One is, can you please quantify the contribution by Raya in this quarter, both in terms of revenue and EBITDA? And on the branded residencies and villa potential in Sri Lanka and in Goa, are there any fixed timelines for the same? And what are the kind of margins that we are looking in those sales?
So, Jaykant, hi. Good evening. I think your first question is regarding margins of Raya and the ramp up. This is the first full year of Raya that we have experienced. As we knew before and as per our plan, we were very clear that this model that we built is the model that the customers of the future are already creating a lot of traction to consume an all-inclusive product. And we've already partnered with Atmosphere, which is a great operator in this space. First year itself, we are seeing very strong occupancies, high 60s. This last quarter, we have seen a 60% occupancy plus, which is quite about a premium of 10 to 15% ahead of the market. So this will put us on a very steady space going forward. I see us not only meeting but beating our budgets going forward. I'm very close to giving you some flavor, but I'm resisting. But we have very good numbers.
And on the villas side, if you could give some color on the timelines and what are the what is the revenue potential and the margins?
Jaykant, see, I mean, we have acquired a 4-acre land parcel. This was a bundle deal along with acquisition of Hilton Hotel. And we have plans to construct around 10 villas on this land parcel with a revenue potential of north of 100 crores. And we expect EBITDA of around 60 crore rupees. So our strategy was to acquire these, use this land parcel for villa and reduce net investment, net cost of acquisition of Hilton Hotel.
What I've made a note of your question also, Jaykant. What I'll do is for the next quarter, we will give you the planning stage and more details on this regarding your villas in Sri Lanka.
Sure. That would be very helpful. And thank you for the detailed answer.
I've made a note. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Murtuza Arsiwalla from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Fantastic performance. Just one accounting question, really, and this is to do with Raya. Now, when I look at the revenue breakup for the international business that you're giving me between room, F&B and others, I'm assuming that there would be, I understand the all-inclusive package here, but you must be using some apportioning between room and F&B for Raya. I mean, you know, it just helps us to have, you know, the traditional ARR occupancy RevPAR for all of them because most of our models are based on that. So just want to get a sense that you would be doing some sort of apportioning between the F&B and room rentals for Raya as well, right?
No, Murtuza, this is a very different model. I went in the same space as per your question when we started out this model with our operators, but it's a little different. It works on operational leverage and very pointed procurement. Second box is allocation. So there is allocation based on pricing on certain things like revenue, rooms, transfers, spa, and excursion. These are the basic parameters. Now, what we have to see here, because the package is only valid for 4 days plus, right? And not everyone consumes the way, one anticipates to consume in a holiday.
Sure.
The margins are fully aligned to give us a 40% plus GOP on our resort, and which we are getting. So if I start allocating costs from F&B and rooms separately, it will be very complicated and confusing. What we really focus on is our net GOP, and that's our matrix.
I'm talking about the top line level.
Limited.
The top
line.
So the top line, are you considering everything in others, like within the revenue breakup, you're considering everything from Raya and others, or you are making the split between room, F&B and others?
Yes, we are. Theoretically, we are. But this is a very different model. I suppose I allocate $38 for F&B per person, or allocate $12 for excursion and other things. We do that exercise for sure. But when it comes to F&B and rooms, there is an overlap.
Fair enough. All right. Thank you.
The million.
Yeah, man.
Mutu the millionaire. I mean, for accounting and audit requirement, we do allocation, but if we use the allocation for our presentation, it will distort numbers, and from that, it is all inclusive concept. And hence, in our presentation, we don't include those numbers. We give TEPA.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Achal Kumar from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question. First of all, I just want to understand on the very normalized basis. I mean, you mentioned that you had last quarter, you had IPO rate cost and all, but then also you had some forex gain. So if you normalize for all that, what is your EBITDA growth in this quarter, please?
So if we normalize, at consolidated level, my EBITDA growth adjusted for this exchange gain is 22.2%. Okay, and further adjusting one-off expenses in India, my growth is around 32%. EBITDA margin growth. See, Ajit, if you look at numbers, let me give you further details. If you look at our India hospitality business, our incremental EBITDA is 25 crore, okay, which has gone up from 53 crore to 78 crore. Now, if we drill down into this growth number, about 20%, that is base of 53 crore, around 10 crores has come from our ADR and occupancy improvement. We got government grants. We started receiving it from quarter four last year, and which is recurring accounted every quarter, which was not there last year. So that is around 8%. 11% were around 6 crores were one-off expenses of the prior year. And remaining 8%, that is around 6 crore, is on account of asset management initiatives and cost reduction. If you look at similar numbers for Maldives, our incremental EBITDA is around 8.5 crore on a base of 9%. Out of that, 55% is contributed by operating leverages, improved KPIs, 22% from one-off expenses of last year, and balance 14% from cost efficiencies. I mean, I will share with you one-on-one further details, or we can connect offline.
Yeah, I guess that would be great, because I think lots of numbers, so you know, it would be great to connect offline. Anyway, now my second question was...
Before you go into the question, but to summarize to exactly what Milind said, the overall company EBITDA grew at, to give you a number, is 29% versus the 50% that you see. This is excluding the FX gain and the one-off expenses.
29%, did you say?
29.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. My second question was around, you mentioned that you're doing a bit of a revenue management and, maybe trying to reduce the contracted business and increase high margin business or high ARR business. Could you just take a bit deeper into that and just guide, like, what percentage of business you're talking about? So at the moment, I mean, if you say you have 100 rupees of revenue, what is the percentage of your revenue comes from, like, this kind of business where you think that you can actually increase ARRs and then you can actually reduce this contracted business and maybe increase? So I'm just a bit of a color on that would be really appreciated.
Sure. I'd love to. So what we really track in head office, and we really push hotels, of course, without compromising on guest experiences and satisfaction, which we are very mindful of. At portfolio level, what we monitor is what we're getting right now is a 65% operational flow through. And that's on the same store basis, which is a very healthy outcome. We keep overheads largely flat compared to last year. And like, of course, a tight control on fixed costs, smarter purchasing. We learned a lot from purchasing in Maldives from Raya, which is the all-inclusive, and we're using the same learnings with the other two resorts as well, and that's why you're seeing that a lot of efficiency coming there. And a lot of improved efficiency on property level as well. So 44% contracted rates has moved now to 60% direct bookings in India. That's the breakup. 40% is the contracted rates and 60% is the direct bookings, which is very, very healthy for India. And we are pushing for Maldives as well on a double-digit direct booking growth through direct marketing channels and through micro websites that we started for our resorts. Apart from that, margins, as you know, India is up 9 points and Maldives is up 7%, very, very healthy. Overall, hospitality 7% up. And there are other levers also. The easy and the low-hanging fruit is energy in Maldives. People, a lot more efficiency coming in our workflow and better planning, driving efficiency and maintaining standards. So this is few of our things that we do to, that translate into profitability and some of the other processes that we put in place.
Right. No, fair enough. And then I wanted to understand about your forward bookings. I know you don't guide as such, but we are in the mid of the number. And you must have got a very good idea about your business in this quarter in India and Malé. Could you give us any bit of color in terms of, how much of your hotels in Malé and India are sold out for this quarter already, and then how that compares with last year, and maybe not be in terms of numbers, but any color in terms of how this quarter we should think about. And then when you're in the business, I'm still sort of although you improved a lot, India is still 66% occupancy, while I think despite the fact that this quarter was sort of had an impact because of excessive rain and everything, I guess Pune and Bangalore are not so impacted, and your business and your occupancy is still 66%, while others are reporting, luxury hotels are reporting occupancy of north of 70%. So what what exactly is holding you back from achieving those kind of occupancy levels, please?
Okay, I'll try to answer that question. First of all, let me give you a flavor of Q2, and you can imagine the numbers yourself. I will not give you. You can just continue the trajectory. My goal is to continue on double-digit growth, both on TRevPAR and RevPAR. We've been very successfully doing that, and we'll continue to do that. Whether it's low teens or high teens, I think, you know, these are the best quarters. That's all I can tell you. I said this in my opening of the speech as well, that the best two quarters are yet to come. So regarding Q2, we did an exceptional occupancy growth in Maldives, which was 6%. And in India, we did an exceptional growth of ADR, which is 9%. Which is 12.4% versus 6.2% in India market. So we've done an exceptional job in ADR in India, and we've done an exceptional job in occupancy in Maldives, both resulting in India at a RevPAR growth of 13%, and in Maldives, a TRevPAR growth of 10%. So this is where we are, and looking at all the good quality asset management that we think we are doing, we only have good news going forward.
So Achal, to answer your question, I mean, our last financial year occupancy was at 67%.
Yeah.
And we expect it will expand to 72% in short term and stabilize at around 75% in the medium term. When we say medium terms, around 4 or 5 years from now. And there is no new supply coming in Pune market for next 5 years. So we are confident we'll reach to that occupancy. And as I mentioned earlier, I mean, if you look at our EBITDA margin and occupancy of quarter two, which is seasonally weak quarter, almost equals to my last year's India KPIs. So from that perspective, we are confident as we move ahead, our KPIs will improve further.
Okay. My last question, you know, just wanted to understand what is the sensitivity of USD INR to your EBIT. I mean, so this quarter you reported forex gain of 47 crores. So I just want to understand, according to the current status, every 1 rupee change in the USD versus INR, how much that will impact on your EBIT?
Okay. See, I mean, we have given loan to our Maldive entities. It's a debt instrument. And in accounting parlance, whenever there is mark-to-market gain or loss, it is routed through profit and loss. That is around 15 million. So that's how this 45-47 crore gets accounted. But when it comes to operating level, we have natural hedge. I mean, our revenue, expenses, my loan repayment, everything is dollar denominated. So there is no risk per se from that perspective. This is one of non-cash accounting entry, which is accounted for the quarter of 47.5 crore.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I mean, what will be the impact? I mean, you must have calculated, like, if tomorrow dollar was
changed. Yes, if you are asking from PAT perspective, every 1 rupees increase in dollar will give me gain of around 15 crore at EBITDA level, and net of tax of 25%, it will be around 11.5 crore rupees. That's a calculation, that's a math.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you so much for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. Only thing is that I think we have a date of 700 crores. Given the expansion plans or in organic, what kind of debt levels we envisage over the next 18 months?
Okay, Mahesh, in our last quarter's investor call, we gave details of our CapEx cash flow. See, our last year's reported EBITDA was around 1,000 crores. Over next 5 years, cumulative, we expect to generate EBITDA of 6,500 crores. Now, if you look at our CapEx plan, assets which are on our books, we expect to spend around 900 to 1,000 crore rupees, that is refurbishment of our Bangalore assets, Sri Lanka hotel, and Varanasi hotel. Other four assets are ROFO assets are getting developed on our group company balance sheet, and we plan to take it on long-term lease. So our CapEx gets staggered. I mean, when we get this bombshell lease, let's say after 30 months from now, we start our CapEx post that, and we expect that should be in the range of 1,000 crore rupees. So out of this 6,500 crore net adjusted for finance cost and tax outflow of 2,000 crore, see around 4,500 EBITDA and 500 crore cash. So we have 5,000 crore in our kitty. We are will spend around 2,200. So our entire, and we spend around 120 crore rupees for Hilton acquisition. We'll put another 100 crore for the next 18 months. So we are very comfortable on our debt. And most of our CapEx will be funded through internal accruals.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Batra for closing comments.
Thank you. So to summarize, we delivered a stellar Q2 with double-digit revenue growth and margin expansion across both India and Maldives, while our annuity assets continue to provide stability and strong cash flows. This also marks our fourth quarterly earning announcement. It's interesting. And across all four quarters, we've maintained a consistent trend of double-digit growth on revenue, EBITDA, and TREPA, and margins, supported by disciplined asset management and prudent leverage. With the two strongest quarters of FY26 still ahead, our focus remains on sustaining TREPA growth, improving occupancy through active asset management, and executing an expansion pipeline with precision. Thank you once again for joining us today, and have a great evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Ventiv Hospitality, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.